Hi everyone. Today we are reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So here in 2 Corinthians, it's continuing in this discussion of generosity. And the way Paul talks about it here, he's kind of closing out his thoughts here about this. He says here in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now this is a very logical kind of thought here, right? It's like in an agricultural sense, right? It's really how we understand most things in our lives anyways. You know, if you plant more seeds, you will likely get a bigger harvest, right? That's sowing seeds, like literally, right? That's exactly what it is. It's very logical. And, you know, this is how we understand, again, things and other things in our life, right? If we put in more effort in something, we get more output typically, right? If we work harder, we typically do better, right? If you work out more, right, you exercise more, you will get stronger and healthier, right? If you do less, you will not be as strong and as healthy. This all makes sense. What Paul's talking about here is that we're sowing, we're putting in effort, resources towards the kingdom of God, and the more we sow, the greater the harvest will be. But it makes so much sense that it made me kind of wonder, why does he even need to say this, right? Shouldn't his audience know this already? Like, this is how the world works for the most part, and like, why even bother saying this? The reason I feel like he has to say this or wants to say this is because it's about generosity, right? Our natural bent, right, when it comes to our resources, our time, our money, what we have, our natural bent is to keep it to ourselves, right? Even when we know, right, the truth that, you know, like, even when we know the truth of the gospel, of the kingdom of God, our natural bent is to think that the best use of our resources is on ourselves, right, for our enjoyment, our security, our joy, whatever. In this framework then, this idea of sowing, the sowing is to give away. This year I started gardening because of the pandemic. I started gardening at home with my son Tyler. And one of the random lessons that I'm learning in gardening is that, you know, once you plant something, there's no guarantee you're going to get something, right? So like sowing seeds involves taking like these seeds that I have, digging a hole in dirt and putting seeds in them and covering them, and you water them and all the other stuff that you might try to do. You might try to fertilize or all that kind of stuff, but you don't know if it's going to sprout. You can't actually control that, right? It's you can try to create environments for it, but we're not in control of whether or not those seeds sprout or not. And then even if the seed sprouts, you don't know if it's going to live. Maybe be too much sun or too little sun. Maybe a squirrel or a bird will like eat the sprouts or crush it or whatever. When we're sowing something, in some sense, it's relinquishing control. Right? We're putting it there and we're taking it away from ourselves. We're giving it away and trusting that something will happen. And that's more along the lines of what Paul's talking about here in sowing. If we are willing to relinquish control of our finances, of our resources, of our time, and our energy, the more we do that, the greater the harvest we'll have. But that's hard, you see, because it means we are giving up control, right? It's not up to us. That's why Paul has to say this, like, hey, the more you give up, the greater the harvest will be. And then as we go through this passage, the heart behind this isn't meant to be like give or tithe or else. That's not what God is saying. He says it's really clearly, God wants a cheerful giver, not giving by compulsion or duty or with reluctance, but with a joy, right? A joy grounded in the hope of what God can and will do with what we offer. And again, he's recognizing it's not easy for us to give, right? It's not like easy to sacrifice. And if you give, right, if you give of what you have, a fear can come that you yourself will not have enough. And that's why in the next few verses here, in verses like 8 through 11, Paul's like saying, hey, God is able to make all grace abound to you, right? Like that you can be like sufficient, right? God will provide, right? His provision, he will, and verse 9, he's saying, God is given and distributed freely. And in verse 10 and 11, he talks about how God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food and will multiply your seed and increase the harvest that you have. God will keep on providing. Now, he's saying as you give, the more you give, the more you will, in a sense, receive. Now, to be clear, this is not the prosperity gospel, right? And I'm sure people who promote that kind of wrong teaching probably use these verses. But Paul's not saying like, hey, the more you give away, the more you're going to have in your bank account and and you can go buy a Maserati or whatever, right? He's not saying that. He's saying if you give and the more you give, God will multiply your seed for sowing. And again, he's saying the more you give, the more you're going to receive to continue to give. And yes, there's an increase of harvest, but it's a harvest of your righteousness. It's a harvest of like you living in like justice, you living in the right way with God. And he says in verse 7, we'll be enriched in every way. Being enriched in every way, it's not just like, yeah, we have more money, but it's more so that there's a greater joy. There's a greater fellowship. There's just this sense of just how great it is to be with God. As we continue to give and give and give. Now, as we do this then, what verses 12 through the end here, he points out something that I think is really important for us. And these are verses that I have really held on to often as I think about ministry and life. In verse 12, I'll read that. He says, "For the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." And then the beginning of verse 13, "By their approval of the service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ." What Paul's getting at here is this. What happens as a result of our generosity, whether it's our finances, our time, our service, what happens is it's not like just about us getting like a pat on the back or us feeling better about ourselves, though that's like not the worst thing in the world. It's okay to feel that. But in an ultimate sense, what happens as we're generous, as we serve, as we give, it supplies the needs of people, but it overflows in thanksgiving to God. And what verse 13 is saying, people will glorify God because of what we do, because of how we serve, because of how we give. This means that our service then, right, is not just about us doing good deeds. And it's not just about us being nice people on the outside. It's about us as we follow Jesus, as we confess publicly even that we follow Jesus. It's us, an overflow of what God is doing in us. When people see that, they give praise to God. They recognize how great God is. And God gets the glory. God gets the honor. God gets the praise. This is why we give. This is why we serve. Not because it's just we have to or it's a duty. And it's not for us to get the praise. It's not for us to feel better. But it's so that as we serve, as we give, as we confess Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, as the lover of our souls, people will see the greatness of God and give thanks to Him. This day let us sacrificially and joyfully give of ourselves, whether it's our finances, our time, investing in a conversation or in a relationship. Let's pray that our lives, what can result from our lives, is that people give thanksgiving to God. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for this word, and we pray for hearts of generosity within ourselves and within our church. Lord, we really need you, and we desire more of you. And we pray that as we strive to sow, as we relinquish control, as we surrender these things to you, we pray for that harvest of righteousness. We pray for this joy that will abound in our hearts. We pray that you will use us, God, to bring you glory, to bring you honor. Use us this day. Use our lives, God, for your glory. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.